Everybody, welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. Let's begin, as we always do, by entering into prayer together at this time. Heavenly Father, we just again want to come to you in gratitude in our hearts, joy in our hearts for who you are, for your love and your righteousness and your all-powerful. And we also thank you, Father, that when we were dead, lost, you decided to send Jesus for us. And that meant that he had to go all the way to the cross and die for us so that our sins would be forgiven. And we thank you that you also raised him from the dead 3 days later. We know that that was a sign that whoever believes in him is justified forever, meaning that you see us when we believe in your Son. You see us and you provide to us in your eyes. You declare us to be perfectly righteous forever in your eyes, which is an amazing thing. And we thank you also, Father, that you've given us the Holy Spirit to live inside our hearts. And that you've given us your word, alive and powerful, and one another, friends and brothers and sisters in Christ. And today, Father, we just come here again to continue to hear from you through your word and to continue to support and uplift and challenge one another. And we also pray this morning, Father, for the needs of the saints, whatever they may be, whatever problems and difficulties and heartaches that people are going through in the body of Christ this morning. Father, we just lift them all up to you, knowing that you have a perfect provision and care. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please stand and join us for song service.
Thank you, singers, for leading us in song this morning. Good morning again, everybody. Good morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there this morning. Happy Grandfather's Day. Is there a separate Grandfather's Day? I don't know anymore. Hallmark's just totally going berserk on all these days. But anyway, happy Father's Day to everybody. A few announcements. On July 3rd, first Sunday in July, we're going to have our next church luncheon. So those of you that want to bring some food, we hope a lot of you do, please let Jack Bovenay back there, there he is, Jack Bovenay, know what you're bringing. So we'll be able to prepare and plan for that. In July, at the end of July, that last week of July, and this is going to be a little confusing. I was a little confused about it, and I did it. But we're going to be on vacation from Monday to Sunday. So when I say the dates, it's that last day, which is the Sunday that we won't be here. All right, so July 31st is the Sunday where we will not be open. But we're calling the vacation from the 25th to the 31st. Just, you know what's good about that? As we get older, I get older, you know. The more we exercise our brain, the less likely we are to, you know, get Alzheimer's and things like that. So I have to got to turn things around once in a while. You know, drive down the left side of the... No, don't do that. Anyway, the last Sunday of the month is the 31st, and I think it is. My math may be wrong. I have no idea. Anyway, the first Sunday of the month is the luncheon. The last Sunday of the month, we're on vacation. Also, we are several things going on with missionary partners. One is every month we just sponsor another one in the sense that we're letting you know about them, giving you some more information, encouraging you to figure out a way to support them, whether it's in prayer or in giving financially or even participating in an active way. This month, we've been looking at Grace Prison Ministries in Keithy and Starling. And, of course, that's a ministry that changes lives of people who are in prison. And they bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then they follow that up with sound Bible teaching so they can understand who they become when they believe in Christ and what their daily practical Christianity is supposed to look like. And so the whole work is restoration of people that have been rejected and scorned. And what is vital, for that work of restoration is that they know about the love of God, the love of Christ, that they get hope, you know, the three things, right? Faith, hope, and love. And faith, of course, is the start of things by believing in Jesus Christ. And then the hope that things are going to be better in the future. And then, of course, the love that you find the more and more as you search the scriptures for who this God is that we worship and who saved us. And, of course, forgiveness. And all of that's only available in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, again, what we can do to help are three things. Pray for ministries like Grace Prison Ministries. Give financially, because I don't think I've ever met a missionary or evangelical organization that's ever said, We got plenty of money. You know, they're always in need. There's just so many things going on. And people tend to be, please try to give financially whenever you can to a missionary organization like Grace Prison Ministries. And then, of course, there's the third step, which would be to participate in a prison ministry, either by reaching out to Keith Ian and finding out when he's going to have a conference again, perhaps, and going to that. Or maybe even there might happen in the future here where several people want to get together and start a local prison ministry. That would be fantastic. So, again, Grace Prison Ministries, they reach out to people who are imprisoned and in jail with the gospel and with the word of God. This is their website, www.graceprisons.org. Also, I've been announcing this. We are privileged now to become the home church for a missionary by the name of Destiny Lerner. She is leaving for Egypt in August. Last week, I mentioned that she has prayer cards, and I reached out to her on Monday to see if she could send us some, and they came. So I hope everybody that wanted one has one, because we've got them today. I know I saw the guys passing it out before service. If you didn't get one and you want one, do we still have some in the back that are left from the... I think we do. All right, we do. So if you haven't got one yet, you can see Ryan, because he seems to know where they are. So, Ryan, wave your hand. You're in the front. There he is. Welcome back, all you folks from college and different places. Look, great to see a lot of young people here this morning. I don't know why it is. They're always on the right side. I'm over here on the left side. I don't know what that's all about, but it's all right. What else? Oh, next, this is new, but I want to make everybody aware that next month we feature Chosen People Ministries. And wouldn't you know that Rich Freeman is going to come and be with us on that month. Isn't that great? Yeah. He's always got a great message, and it's, to me, very inspiring, the work that they do, both here in the United States and around the world. So he'll be here on, if you want to write down the date, July 10th. So July's going to be busy, you know, until we take a vacation. We're going to need a vacation at the end of July, I think, with the things going on. We got one more thing to talk about, which is the VBS, which is also in July. But anyway, Sunday, July 10th, Rich Freeman will be here. He'll be preaching that day. And then I also want to mention again this morning our Vacation Bible School, which is also in July. It's going to be July 11th through the 15th. Those are during the week. That's Monday through Friday. For kids from ages 5 to 11, it's going to be a morning VBS from 9 a.m. to 12. But here's a little secret. If the parents need it, we will be offering afternoon, what are we calling it? Aftercare. Yeah, that's a secret. We're not supposed to tell anybody. No, I'm just kidding. So anybody who needs aftercare, it's going to be available 5 to 11. Please continue to help us recruit children. We have flyers. We have a director, Mrs. Margie Pomeroy. Morning, Margie. And also next Sunday, do I have this right? Next Sunday after service, there's going to be an orientation meeting for people who are going to be working as volunteers at that VBS. So next Sunday, if that's you, try to be part of that. Make sure, because it's really useful, important information that Margie's going to share with everybody at that time. So next Sunday, all right, after service, it's going to be a VBS orientation. The theme is Star Wars, only so we don't get sued. We call it Star Force. See, we're clever. And rather than The Force Awakens, it's The Faith Awakens. So I think it's going to be some of the kids, the young people that are heart and soul of the teaching and the decorating and things like that they're real excited. I've seen them. We gather together on Monday nights at 6 for the youth group, and for the last probably 6 or 7 weeks, we've been working together to make this a success. So we'll keep that in prayer. Again, it's going to be July 11th to the 15th. All right. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. Make sure everybody's got one. Hey, all right. And we want to welcome our guests this morning. We thank you for being here. I want to make you know that, you know, everybody who's a believer in Christ is a member of the body. That means we're family. I'm closer than a brother and a sister in a lot of ways. So thank you for being here. And we are about to turn to the teaching portion, the Word of God, this morning in our service. The first passage we'll be in this morning is in Colossians 3, if you want to go there. Colossians 3, starting in verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. The title of today's message comes from the Gospel of Matthew. It's in what is called the Beatitudes. And it's this one on the board. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. in heart. We have been looking at practical Christianity for the last probably 9 months now. I think we started it maybe in October last year, something like that. And we started out in James, if you remember. And then we spent a lot of time in Proverbs. And then most recently we've been in Paul. Well, we're about to go back to James, all right? So today it will be sort of a wrapping up of where we've been and a sort of a movement towards transition to getting back into the letter of James. And if you remember, when we were in the overview of James, we looked at, well, what's sort of the overall theme of what the material that's in the letter of James? And, you know, you can come up with your own, but the one that I seem to think was most suitable was this passage in Matthew. Now, you might say, why would you pick a passage in Matthew to summarize James? Well, the answer is, and we saw this, was that James was the half-brother of the Lord, and his letters contained the most sort of commonality, echoes, if you want to say it that way, restatements of things that Jesus said in the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Matthew. And as we may not get this far today, but James, over and over again, in his very practical way, in his exhorting way, and his, remember, he's like a coach, and we're playing the game, and he's yelling and telling us what to do, right? And but if you think about what he keeps telling us, it's this. It's take a look at your life and what you claim to believe and see how you're living matches that. And if it doesn't, then there's a problem. Now, it's interesting about James, and we'll get into this, is James is very good at identifying the problems, right? Your tongue is a problem in James. Doubting is a problem in James. There's a lot of them, you know, which is why it's good that we have a whole Bible of 66 books. Because if you're just in James, at the end of it, you might be walking around saying, I'm a loser. You know? So it's good that we don't just have James. But it's also good that we do have James. And this is the whole thing about... I remember when we were studying James, we also started to realize, and maybe you didn't, but I did, I was telling you, there's absolutely no contradiction between James and Paul. A lot of people over the centuries have tried to say, well, they're contradicting each other, right? But that's not true. We'll see that as we go along. So we're going to move back to James. And the reason why I wanted to point this out right now is that if you think about where we are in Colossians, it's the same thing. So, presented in a different way because of the gift and the revelation that Paul has to tell us what's unique and wonderful about being church age, right? That we have an opportunity to have our hearts changed, right? Going from anger to love, remember? Going from this to that, changes of the heart. And so Paul tells us sort of the gift that God has given us, the means by which we can address what James is telling us to address. Because you sit there reading James and you say, wait a minute now. Yeah, that's me. I doubt. I don't always, you know, I say I'm this great Christian, but I'm not visiting too many widows and orphans, and on it goes, you know. But if you just stay there, sometimes you say, me especially, because I'm Irish and I have a tend towards, you know, melancholy, right? I'm like, oh, I'm terrible, you know. So that's what's wonderful about the whole Bible, and what's wonderful about Paul in particular, because Paul can pick us back up and say, wait a minute, have you forgotten? You know, have you forgotten that the Spirit indwells you now? And that the governing power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the governing power of sin and death. So while you still have these problems in your life that James is going to point out, you also have the solution. And Colossians 3 is a big part of the solution, saying, and we're going to get into this morning. Here's how it works in our daily life for us to have the changes so that we become more and more that. You see, and that's the other thing I want to point out is Jesus. Because he, in the gospel, sets the vision. He says, this is how it ought to be at a very high level. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And he's setting out the vision, right? And James is on the back end saying, I don't know, you guys aren't doing so well. And then Paul's here saying, but here's how you get there. It's wonderful when you put them all together. By the way, I think that's how I'm going to teach James from here forward, as if there were a Bible conference. Imagine this. Bible conference, but the speakers are Jesus, James, and Paul. And on every subject, let's just see how all three of them work together. You know, that's one of the hard things about living by faith. We don't get that, you know, in the flesh life kind of thing where we'd like to have. Wouldn't it be great at times to just be able to kind of corner James and say, help me out here. How do you fit together with Paul? And wouldn't it be even greater if Paul was next in the conference to speak and he would be telling us, hey, me and James, we're together, but let me tell you how that is. So in the absence of them actually being here, I think it would be useful for us to approach the letter of James that way, to see it as sort of a running commentary between Jesus, Paul, and James, to see how these all things work together for our good. That's Paul. All right, so with that in mind, let's begin in Colossians, where we've been, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart. There's that word, blessed are the pure in heart. How does it work for us as Christians? We put on a heart. Reminder, only by means of the Spirit, Colossians 3:12. It's only by means of the Spirit, remember, that we can be successful in this. Put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility, gentleness, and patience. By the way, these are all qualities that James tells us we need to have. He'll say, God gives grace to the humble but opposes the proud. And you sit there and you say, well, I've been proud. What do I do now? And then Paul comes around and says, put on a heart. You have been freed in your heart because you have the Spirit inside. You can every day lay aside the anger, lay aside the arrogance, have your mind renewed, and then put on this heart. All by means of the Spirit. All right, put on a heart of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love. Notice these are things that we get to put on in the freedom of our hearts because the Spirit lives there. Love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Blessed are the peacemakers. That's what Jesus said. He set the vision. And we see here that because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and because the Holy Spirit came to live in our hearts, we can have that peace that Jesus talked about rule in our hearts. And notice where it rules, in your hearts. Because blessed are the pure in heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. We saw that that was the secret. That was the middle part of our daily three-step, right? Put away the bad and the old man's behavior and attitudes. Have your mind renewed. With what? With the Word of God, which is to dwell richly in you, and then go out and live the new life. Put on the new, right? Present the members of your body as instruments of righteousness to God. All right, let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. We get the gift of one another. All of us have the Holy Spirit inside. All of us are members of the body. Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs like we did to open this morning. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And we saw last Sunday, I was listening to myself, which I don't like to do. And every once in a while, there's this boom. And I think it's when I go down like that. And I got to stop doing that. Maybe I have to have like this up here. Anyway. Hey, this is me. Singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, the thankfulness, remember, cannot be forced. It has to be genuine. Meaning, how do you get thankful? You get thankful by being in a jam. By being sometimes in a really horrific shape. And to watch how God delivers you. And then coming out of that, you're thankful. You know how it is. Kids, right? I pick on the kids too much. But me as a kid, I was not like naturally thankful. I was naturally selfish. Meaning, hey, we're going on vacation and I want A, B, and C. And I want to go here and I want that. Until one year when the car broke down. And we had a flat tire. And we spent a whole day in the garage. And that particular night, I was very thankful for just being with my family and not in that darn garage. That's a stupid illustration, but that's how it is with us humans. Right? It's when we're when pulled out of something really bad by the Lord that we're truly thankful. We don't have to pretend. We don't have to put on anything unnaturally. I mean, put on, it's legitimate. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. That's not a scrupulous religious saying his name over and over again. It just means that he's on your heart. He's on your heart in your daily life, giving thanks through him to God the Father. As we've seen, I want to emphasize this again. The Holy Spirit is the one who enables the daily work that Paul's describing here of practical Christianity. Only by the Spirit, right? The Spirit wars against the flesh. By the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. Only that way. By the Spirit, we get to understand, because he's our teacher, what the Word of God is telling us. And by the Spirit, we put on the new. We walk by means of the Spirit. All right? The Holy Spirit. So that, and one of the things that I reflected on from last Sunday was the way this works is that when we think about our life and how we're supposed to walk on a daily basis, every time that we start to pretend that it's up to us alone, we lose. When we start to try to do things without realizing that we can't do a thing without the power of the Spirit, I lose. So I think of it this way. I lose, but we win. We meaning the Lord with me. And to me, that explains a lot of my life. You know, because, you know, some people think that the Christian way of life is supposed to be, if you're really a Christian and blah, 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 then you're supposed to just sail through life victoriously. By a show of hands this morning, how many people in this room can say for the last, since you've been a Christian, you've done nothing but sail through life victoriously? I'm waiting. Who is it? Who is it? Well, if somebody was born again yesterday, maybe they have their hand up right now. But other than that, it's just not true. It's not true. As a matter of fact, the conflict gets ratcheted up as soon as you believe in Christ. If you want to know the truth, that's the truth. That's the truth. Because you see, Satan's the god of this world. And he's very happy to keep people in the dark. He's not going to disturb them. If you're in the dark, you are where he wants you to be. Now, the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, will get his message to you. But once you become a Christian, you see, there's a huge amount of resentment and hatred in the camp of the principalities and powers. And the flesh, too, is aroused. You know, the flesh used to have its way with us before we became believers and the Spirit came to live. We didn't realize it, but we were totally dominated by whatever it was that our selfish flesh wanted us to do. The moment we believe in Christ, that's no longer true. The Spirit comes to live, and there's a built-in daily conflict between the Spirit and the flesh. Welcome to Christianity. But you know what? That's the power and that's the hope. If you think about it, if there's people in your life that are just flatlined, I don't mean literally, I don't mean they're dead. I mean that their life is flatlined, meaning that there's nothing going on. Oh, they will tell you they're, you know, oh yeah, you know, this is fine. I'm just doing the same thing. But there's no growth. There's no, you know, and that, it's not a word, but That striving, that growth, that, hey, life has a meaning, comes through conflict. It doesn't come through sailing through life. It comes through conflict. And then seeing by the power of God that conflict overcome. So we lose as individuals without Christ, without the Spirit. We win with him. And we win in our daily lives. We win. What I mean by winning is we find out by the power of the Spirit that we can put away the anger. We can put away the wrath. The lust, the guilt, the jealousy, the fear, the sadness, the despair. We can put it away by means of the Spirit. Just keep that in mind. I want you to take an area of your life where you've struggled the most, and I want you to give it to the Spirit and say, this one's yours. Can you do that? The thing that bugs you every day, the thing that you wake up and when you're vulnerable, it's that. Whatever that is. And it's different for everybody, so don't compare notes necessarily. All right? But you've got to come to the point in your life where you realize that you will never beat this by yourself. And that's why God has given you the Spirit. And that's why when we read James, we also have to read Paul and read Jesus. to see the full picture. By means of the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit. By means of the Spirit, we put to death the deeds of the body. The Spirit wars against the flesh, not you. Because alone we lose, with the Lord we win. And that just means that our life is a life of response. Responding to the grace of God, which will be there. Paul lays it out. You know, I'm happy I spent all the time that we did in Romans. It's an unbelievable foundation that we all need to have, you know. And the fact of the matter is that when you turn the page to Romans 5, you don't have to go there now, but we find out that we've been justified by faith and that we are just swimming in the grace of God every day of our lives, and he promises that it'll always be like that. And that gives us hope no matter what goes on. We can go through persevering through affliction and pain and sorrow and failure, because he brings out perseverance and character and hope. And that hope will not disappoint, because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts. All right, so that he has got us. But it's a partnership where he leads and we follow. And the grace of God comes into our life and we realize it and we say yes to it through faith. He leads in grace and we follow in faith. And it all begins in the heart. That's why today's message is called Blessed Are the Pure in Heart. Because that's where it is. The activity begins. The activity of daily Christian living begins in our heart. We have the fundamental three-step, remember? Put away the old bad attitudes and behaviors. Put them away, right? Attitudes first. Jesus said the stuff that happens that is bad stuff, including murders and adulteries, he said it all starts in the heart. And that could be a scary thought too when Jesus says stuff like that. Okay, so that's in me. Ooh. I'm in trouble because it's in me. What am I going to do? Well, Jesus is going to die to that stuff and for that stuff. And when he does that and rises again, the Holy Spirit's going to come down. And when you believe in Christ, he's going to indwell you. And he's going to be in your heart. And there it is. But it's going to be a battle at times, right? A battle you lose when you think it's up to you. And you only win when you realize it's by the Spirit. By the Spirit, we put away those bad old attitudes. The anger. And the jealousy, and the selfishness, and the fear, and all that stuff. Put it away. That's step one, remember? And then step two, have your mind renewed by having that word richly dwell within you. The importance of a daily relationship with the Word of God. This too, like gratitude, gets solidified when you go through a time in your life, or maybe several, maybe this takes years, whatever, where when you really see your life, you have a famine of the Word of God, meaning that, you know, for whatever reason you've been away from it, or maybe you haven't, but it's just so hard to, you know, it's hard. And you go through something where you don't have the Word of God working for you, and it's terrible. I was going to use a five-letter word that begins with S. The second letter is U. Tell me when you know what it is. C. K. Anyway. It is horrible. And so after you've been through that, the drought of the Word of God, you know, and your life is not working out, and then the Word of God comes pouring back in, and your life does work out, then you're going to say, like, I could have had a V8. I need this. I need this. It's my very life now. It's not just the pastor nagging me to do my Bible study or my quiet time anymore. It's not just that anymore. Don't get me wrong. Good habits and good discipline is needed. But the driver for it becomes, I need this. This is my very life. I saw how I was in a bad place, but I went to Philippians chapter 4 when I realized that I had to start thinking about whatever things are lovely, whatever things are just, and so forth. And when I did that, it worked. I got life back into my heart. And so this is what this has become. We have our mind renewed by having the Word richly dwell within us. That's step two, remember? And step three is step forward. It's interesting, as a Christian, we're told to walk, it's always forward. Right? Walking means going in the right direction. We step forward by putting on the good new heart attitudes. This isn't rocket science, of course. This is Old Testament even. Even in the Old Testament, they were told to love and to be kind and be humble and merciful and those kind of things. See, the amazing good news that's new about Christianity really isn't so much the goal of being human in God's eyes, although there is that. I mean, after all, Like I said, in the Old Testament, we're told to walk humbly with our God and to love. What's radical about Christianity is having the means to get there. Having the Holy Spirit inside. Having the Word. Having the revelation that we have in the New Testament. Being placed in union with Christ. Wow. Who is our righteousness? Who is our wisdom? Who is our sanctification? Who is our redemption? That's the radical good news. How to get there. And so we get by the power of the Spirit to be able to step forward by putting on those new attitudes. The fruit of the Spirit. You ever stop and look at the fruit of the Spirit? I hope you do, because I bring it up all the time. And what it's all about. And to realize that that's what it's all about. Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. I'm going to wait a little. Patience. Kindness. Gentleness. Goodness. Faithfulness. Self-control. See, that's the stuff. That's becoming pure in heart. And whose fruit is it? The Spirit. So we're dependent on Him. He pours these things into our heart. These new attitudes leading to good, new behaviors. So where are we in all of this? Again, our task in all of this is to respond to that. Wow, the Spirit's pouring love in my heart. I'm going to respond by putting that on. I'm going to use it. You know? I'm going to use it. He's got this reservoir of love that He's put at my disposal. I'm not just going to let the reservoir sit there. I'm going to use it. I'm going to turn around and pour that love into somebody else's life too. And we have freedom to do that or not. And that goes for all of those things. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's all the grace of God that has given us those things. Our task is to respond to that in faith. Please turn to Galatians chapter 2:20 again this morning. Galatians 2:20. Put away the old. Have your mind led into the renewal through the Word of God. Step forward by putting on the new clothing. Heart attitudes and behaviors. How do we do that? We realize that it's God the Holy Spirit taking the lead, pouring these things, and we respond to it in faith. Look at Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, in the body, I live one way, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. By the way, this is Paul in Galatians primarily is dealing with life after salvation, by the way. Certainly he talks about justification by faith. But the whole conflict that he's dealing with in Galatia was when believers in Galatia were being poisoned by the idea that they still have to follow the law after they believe in Christ. So, and here, remember, he says, I've already been crucified with Christ. Okay, that happened at the moment he believed. Right? Now he's looking at his life now. And he's saying, it's not I. He's talking about the I that loses, right? But Christ lives in me, and the life I live now as a believer, I live one way, by faith in the Son of God. This is not a salvation passage. This is a daily living passage. The life I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Verse 21, I do not nullify the grace of God in my daily living. I don't nullify it. If righteousness, now this righteousness is practical daily righteousness, right? Comes through the law, then Christ died needlessly. If I can, even after salvation, by my works, by my flesh anyway, by my own self-effort, by following a code of conduct, if I can do that all myself, then Christ died needlessly. But I can't. And you can't. which is why we live one way, by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So for the Christian, faith is an activity. Faith is. It's active. It's something that we do. We walk by faith. We fight the good fight of faith. Yet we strive according to God's power. And that's the mystery of it all. By grace, God provides. By faith, we appropriate what God provides. By grace, God provides. By faith, we appropriate what God provides. Use it. Fancy appropriate. It means use it. But I like the word appropriate because it just means that there's something happening first. The grace of God providing what we need. In this case, we're talking about heart attitudes like love and joy and peace. And then by faith, we use it. And that's a hard thing to understand in a way. You know, we think that when we do something, it's sort of like we have to get our arms around it, and we have to do it, we have to take it over and all that. And yet, our fundamental thing that we do is believe. Because after all, if it's God's power, then what we're doing is trusting in that rather than ourselves. It's a different way of living, a different way of walking than perhaps you thought about. But we use what God provides by means of faith. We've seen in Colossians 3, we've been here for a few weeks, that the garments that we're to put away and the new adornments of the heart that we're to put on by means of the Spirit and the Word of God, like putting away anger and putting on compassion. And we can only do those things by means of the Spirit. If you've got a problem with anger, then by the Spirit, you'll put that away. If you have a problem with malice, wishing ill will on others, by the Spirit, you put that to death. The Spirit wars against the flesh. And you put on humility, which is the new heart attitude, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Or you put away fear, and you put on God's love. These are heart attitudes, first and foremost. At this point in time, I want you to turn to Colossians 3:9. I guess you're already there, but no, you're in Galatians. If you could go back to Colossians 3:9, I want to go through this one more time. You can tell this is important, right? Good. This time we're going to introduce some Greek words. Warning. Like Greek words. I do too. So we're going to look at some Greek words that I hope will also further cement this whole thing about the putting off and the putting on and relate it to the cross. We're going to relate this once again to the cross of Christ. All right. So, but once again, we're looking at this heartbeat of our practical sanctification, practical Christianity. All right. And it's interesting that where we find this described most completely are in the two of the letters where Paul is revealing the mysteries that were held back until after the resurrection of Christ. And it's in those letters that we see the heartbeat of practical Christianity. I love that. I love that. That's that mountaintop valley thing where we see Christ in the most glorious way possible in the book of Colossians, and then we come right back in Colossians 3 to practical daily living. Now, in view of who you are in Christ, put away that anger and put on love. And we'll see if we get this far this morning. He deals with the family again. Interesting. All right, the heartbeat of our practical sanctification. Colossians 3, 9 to 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside. All right, I want to give you the Greek for that laid aside. Apekduomai. Apekduomai. Some of the Greek words are pretty cool. And you told me, once you learn how to pronounce them, it took me a while. Apekduomai. Yeah, it means to take off, to put off, as in clothing or weapons. Since you've already taken off the old man. Now, when did that happen? If you've already done it, when did it happen? When did you, remember I said last week that the old man was like sewed on top of you. All right? You couldn't do anything. He was part of you. But then a day came when he was taken off you. What day was that? It was the day you believed in Christ, right? When you were baptized into his death. Paul just talked about it in Galatians 2. You were crucified with Christ. Meaning that old man, you were cut off. You were separated from the old man for the first time in your life. What an amazing moment that was. You have already taken off, as in clothing or weapons, the old man with his evil practices. And you have put on, the new man, who is being renewed to true knowledge, there's that second step, according to the image of the one who created him. I wanted you to see here that the first thing that happened to you at the moment of salvation is that that old clothing of Adam, the Lord came by and took it off you. He said, "This is, you no longer have to wear this. You don't have to." All right, dropped at your feet. All right, now please turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. We're going to see the same thing. We're going to see the three-step, the putting away, the having the mind renewed, and the putting on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. And then we're going to see a couple more Greek words. Apekduomai happened at the cross. Ephesians 4, 20 to 24. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, all truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your, notice the language, your former manner of life. Clearly this is talking about believers. Our former manner of life was when we were unbelievers, totally dominated by the flesh and the life of Adam, the old man. Now here it says it a little differently. It says, you lay aside the old man. All right, I want to give you the Greek. Now when you first, heck, for years, when I read Colossians and Ephesians, I thought it was talking about the same thing. Put away, right? Take off. It's not. You know how I know that? Different Greek word. That's when Greek gets exciting. You say, wait a minute. It can't be the same thing. It's a totally different Greek word. Apotithemi. Apotithemi. This means to put away. Not to take off, but to put away. You know the difference, right? Come on, kids. You know the difference. You're home from school. You got a uniform because that's the kind of school you go to. You can't wait to take that off. But do you put it away? Usually not. Usually it's on the floor. Correct, moms? Of course. So there's a difference between taking off and putting away. That's the point. Right? The difference between having something taken off you and putting it away. And that's the difference between the cross and daily living when it comes to the attitudes and behaviors of the old man. He's been taken off us. But like clothing that's still on the ground, they have to be put away. There's a difference. And you know this is true. We know that Jesus died to sin, and yet we still have to deal with anger and fear and guilt. What are we supposed to do with that stuff? The same thing a kid is supposed to do with clothes after they've been taken off. Put them away. Put them away. Put them in a trunk, put a lock on it, and throw away the key. Now, I wish it were that easy in the Christian way of life. Because the deal with this is that because the flesh is still in us, we're going to have to be doing this putting away thing till the day we die or Jesus comes. All right, but there's a difference, and it's important to understand that the strategic victory over this stuff was won at the cross. And the old man was put off us when we believed in Christ, and now we get to put him away. All right, apotithemi, put away. That in reference, verse 22, to your former manner of life, you put away, put out of the way the things of the old man, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. All right? That means that you are, there is a mind of the spirit in your mind, and those come together through the word of God. And then you put on, and then the final Greek word, enduo. Put on. Endow. As in clothing, literally or figuratively. You're walking around with clothes you can never take off. The clothes of Adam, the old man. Jesus died for you. When you believed in him, you were separated from those things. You don't have to wear those clothes anymore. But what you do get to do is put them away, and then you put on the new clothes, which is Christ. But remember, the practical thing about it is the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Put them on. Put those things on your heart in duo. Like clothing, you can put on love. Like clothing, you can put on forgiveness. Like clothing, you can put on patience. And we have the freedom in our hearts to do that. Put them on. Put away the old. Be renewed. Put on the new. And notice in verse 24, we put on the new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. What a reminder. You know, we were made in the image of God before we fell. Right? Then we were all messed up. We were lost. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But when we believe in Christ, we are now, this new man is now made in the likeness of God. And it's been created in the righteousness and the holiness and truth. And we get to put that on every day. And we're in union with him who's Jesus Christ. All right, so put away the old, be renewed, put on the new. I'm going to keep saying it till you can't forget it. Why? Because this is daily living. This is not, oh, I'm going to learn a doctrine. All right, this is my daily life. This is how I participate in getting a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. James says, stop being double-minded. Well, what do? Here's what you do. You turn to Paul in Colossians 3, and you realize that the Spirit is at work with you to put away the old stuff, the anger and the fear and the guilt, and then have your mind renewed. That's so important. You can't miss step two, right? A lot of people want to not do step two. All right? You have to do step two because that's part of this. Can you imagine if somebody was dancing the waltz, right? Now, here's how the waltz is supposed to look. It's supposed to be like, duh, duh, duh. All right? Can you imagine if they never went that way? They just went, dun, dun, like the partner's saying, we're supposed to be going that direction. Well, no, you need all three steps. You need to put away the old. You need to have your mind renewed by the word of God and then put on the new. A lot of people are wondering why the dance doesn't work. Because they're not letting the word of God dwell richly. You need that part. Your new man needs the word. How about it? How about it? It was created for the truth. Give it the truth. Because that's how you get to do the third step, which is putting on the new stuff, right? And you know this is true. You know, where do we get that security, that certainty, right, that confidence to do this? By the word of God. It's by God speaking to our hearts. It's saying, you know, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Go, live. It's by the word of God that we get to do these things. It gives us what we need in our hearts to be able to go forward. Because we're walking by faith, not by sight. It's not like we have all these things, you know, around our environment otherwise. It's through the word of God that we get what we need. All right. Put away the old man, attitudes and behavior. The old man is a package of deadly attitudes and behavior, way of life in Adam. The way we all lived before we came to Christ. The way the world operates, all right? Put that stuff away. Going to be a battle. You'll lose yourself. Why? Because you have enemies like the flesh and the world that are trying to push you in the other direction. You win by means of the Spirit. Be renewed by the Spirit in your mind by letting the Word of God richly dwell in you. And then put on the new man, who is Christ, but in practicality it's the new heart attitudes. The fruit of the Spirit, love, kindness, patience, humility, that will lead to new behavior. All right? That's another mistake a lot of Christians make. They jump to the new behavior without ever dealing with their heart. They say, well, a Christian is supposed, like James will do this to you if you're not careful. A Christian is supposed to visit widows and orphans. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go out there and visit some widows and some orphans. But I'm not going to do it by having my heart renewed. And I don't even know really who the Spirit is. I'm going to do what it tells me to do, though. And of course, when you do that, you're going to fall flat on your face. You'll probably get in an argument with the kid, and you'll probably, you know, think that the widow is just a pain in the neck, and you won't go back again. That's why you need the three-step. You know, you got to put away stuff, all right, like anger, like selfishness, like fear. You got to have your mind renewed. Why am I doing this exactly? Right? Well, because Christ redeemed me from the curse of the law, and he's given me everything I need, and he promised me that he'll take care of me. And that he'll be there no matter what. Renew, renew, renew. Then I'm going to put on some new attitudes first. I'm not going to just go show up at the doorstep of a widow with my old garbage attitudes. That's not going to do anybody any good. I got to put some new ones on. I got to go there in love. I got to go there with ready to be forgiving in my heart. I got to go there in humility. Not that I'm some great Christian, but I'm going to have humility in my heart so I can find something about her that will help her live better and build herself up. So don't. This is important. Put on the heart attitudes first. Then that will lead to new behavior. And it will. That's the beauty of it. It's not going to be a forced thing or a rules-based thing. It's going to be like flowing, which is the way it's supposed to be. All right, so you had all your old clothes taken off. You had the cross. Now it's time to put them away. All right, you've disrobed. of the Adam crap. I'll say it behind the pulpit, sorry. Now throw away that stuff and put on the new clothing that you've been given in grace by the Lord to wear. Put off the old garments and put on the new ones. Our old life in Adam, filthy rags. Our new life in Christ, armor of light. We've seen that there are two different Greek verbs, one to put away, and the other is a statement of fact telling us that we have put off the old man. When we put off the old man, when we were crucified with Christ. See, this is the other thing that gives us confidence. See, if you don't understand what Christ accomplished at the cross, that he really did defeat sin. In Romans, it's put that God the Father condemns sin in the flesh, in the body of Christ, on the cross. You know? Means the victory's been won, really. For the human race, it's been won. And you get to come on along behind the victory that's already been won and have your own little victory. It's almost as if, you know, you're in a war. And it's against the Germans, all right? In World War II, right? But D-Day's already happened. And as a matter of fact, I don't know how this works, but somehow or other, the Americans have figured out how to, like, make their tanks of the Germans, like, not work anymore. So you see these big tanks coming down, and you're a little afraid, but then you realize you've got the truth in your head. No, those tanks can't work anymore. They're just a roaring lion. And armed with that knowledge of the strategic victory, you're just marching into that town and saying, we're dealing with you guys. We're here to win. That's the cross. The victory's already been won. And God allows you to walk in behind it and sort of scoop up the fruits of the victory by putting away the things of the old man. I am not going to let anger defeat me anymore. Why? Because Christ dealt with anger at the cross, and I have the Spirit inside. I lose, but we win. See what a difference knowing these things makes? Makes all the difference in the world. We put off the old man when we were crucified with Christ. Already happened. Now we put him away by no longer doing things, the old man's destructive behaviors. Clearly that's part of it, but most importantly, we don't hold on to the old man's deadly attitudes in our hearts. See, when we're dominated by the thinking of the flesh, we still, whether we realize this or not, we still think that there might be something useful about the old man's deadly attitudes. We do. We think, I can't really get rid of anger. I'll be a wump, wump. I was deciding between wuss and wimp there. Didn't come out right. Right? If I get rid of all my anger, I won't be a real man anymore. Now, you may laugh, but that's in there somewhere. Right? Some people I have to be vindictive towards. They've hurt me so bad. That's in there somewhere. I mean, if you look at those things that we're supposed to put away, you know, we think somehow, because we still sometimes go according to the mind of the flesh, I need to hang on to these things somehow or other. I do. I need to hang on to worry. I remember that my mother worried every day of her life, and I looked up to her, so I better keep worry around too. You may laugh, but it's the truth. We hang on to those things thinking we might need them someday. That's why we don't forgive. We're hanging on to something thinking, you know, I may have an opportunity to just set that person straight. But if I forgive him in my heart and I forget about what he did, I may never have the opportunity to set him straight. So we hang on to unforgiveness. Well, good luck with that. That's all I can say. That is not life. That is death. And the whole idea of us gathering together on a regular basis is to hear the truth over and over again so that it penetrates into our hearts and we finally say yes, without a reservation, to the truth about what we're supposed to be. All right? The list, right? Remember the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There ain't a wrath or an anger or a jealousy or an unforgiveness in the package, is there? No. We don't hold on to the old man's deadly attitudes in our hearts. It's so important. As we've seen, God is training up sons and daughters. You know, we've been baptized into Christ. We've been put into his death, his burial, his resurrection. We are in the risen Christ, and we are put in a privileged place of freedom. And then we're called to act accordingly in faith. We're called to walk in faith and run in faith and fight in faith and put away things on the basis of believing and putting on things and holding our ground. Why? Because God is training sons and daughters, not programming robots. This is not just autopilot. All right? This is not God does it all and we just sit and watch stuff. We're part of it. We are part of it. What is our part? Faith, first and foremost, leading to action. But trusting that God's right when he says that I can put away anger and put on love. By the way, the blog this week was about that, right? Sons and daughters and adoption. If you haven't read it, please read it because it's going to help. It's going to really enrich what we're talking about here. So we learn things. Why do you think God said, the basic way you're going to know I'm around Christians is this book and one another, right? But the tangible thing that we have, right? We don't have an altar to sacrifice animals to, right? We have the book, right? What does that tell us? Whenever you see somebody with a book in their hands, what does that tell you? Well, I'll help you out. It means they're ready to learn something. Isn't that why you have a book? Well, I know you can read for entertainment and stuff, and there's some real entertaining stuff in there too if you haven't checked it out yet. Anyway, but yeah, we're going to learn things. So God's training us by having us learn things as his children. And really, well, we can't see him. We are under his watchful eye all the time. That's what the book tells us as he's training us. He's developing things in us, in our hearts for us, so we become pure in heart. Because he's adopted us as his sons and daughters. And all of this is ultimately to the glory of his God-son. I like that phrase about Jesus, God-son. He's God's son, but he's God and the son. Never mind. Hey, look, when you're like writing these things and you're trying to get everything right, you know, you sometimes put stuff down that you think, that's pretty cool. Maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll see. But he is God and he's the Son of God and it's all to his glory. Do you realize that God is preparing you as a gift to his Son? And you see, seeing things like this really helps. It takes the edge off life. It takes the edge off the idea that I'm a total screw up and I'm going to blow this thing. Yeah, you are, but he isn't. Just like he'll give you more than you can handle, but it won't give you more than he can handle. And this is a process of our sort of letting things give over to his ways and say, you know what? At the end of the day, this is all about him as my father training me to be an adopted son, adopted daughter, so that I can be presented as a gift to his son someday. And all of that will be bringing more glory to Jesus. And that's the point, to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do these things by grace through faith. We only do it by the strength God provides. And as we close today, I want to just show you where we end up in Colossians. If you go to Colossians 3:18, are you in Colossians now? You are, right? Where are you in Ephesians? If you could go forward to Colossians one more time, chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. I want you to see where we end up. Colossians 3, 18 to 21. As you turn in there, Colossians 3:18. All right, I'll tell you. We end up right back to the heart of practical Christianity, which is relationships and marriage and the family. It's funny because we were there when we were in Proverbs, you know, and then we had a lot, right? We talked about marriage and children and parenting and, you know, all of that. And then we go to see about what Paul's telling us about the practical side of Christianity from a heart point of view. And then when Paul is done saying, this is how it works, the three-step, he brings us to a place to apply it. He says, now here's where you're going to find the most opportunities to practice the three-step of putting away the old, having your mind renewed, and putting on the new. And of course, if he would have stopped before getting to verse 18 and just say that to us, we'd be thinking, oh goody, it's going to be on the mission field. Oh, goody, it's going to be in my ministry at church. Or it's going to be on the... You know, no, it's not. Let's see where it is. Colossians 3:18. Where is it that we find the most need to change our hearts? The most places where we need to put away anger and put on compassion and forgiveness? Let's see. Colossians 3:18. Wives, be subject to your husbands. That's where you most need to be able to have these changes of heart, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Happy Father's Day. But you see, where we most need to have these heart changes is in these closest relationships in life, where we most need to put away anger and put on compassion. Right back to the heart of practical Christianity. And notice in verse 18 and 19 what we're dealing with here. Does it say, wives, let the husband make all the decisions about money? Wives, let him pick what we're having for dinner this week. Does it say that? No. Well, see, what I just described, half humorously, are behaviors. That's not what Paul gets at here, is it? What's most important? It's not really weird. It's not your ticker. It's your heart, your innermost being, your attitude. Wives, have an attitude of respect and subjection to your husband. Attitude, heart. Let's see about that's true about the men. Look at verse 19. Husbands, listen, buy her a nice big ring and take her on vacation. Now, I know these are nice things that women are like, yeah. But my point is that those are behaviors too, and that's not what is said here, right? No, what? Love your wives, a positive, that's a putting on. And what? Do not be embittered against them, that's a putting off. It's all heart. It's all heart. Put off this bad Adam's thing called bitterness and put on this new Christ thing called love in your heart. Let's look, just keep reading. Children, on this Father's Day, be obedient to your parents in all things. And that starts in the heart too. That is well-pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, notice fathers on Father's Day. Fathers, spank them 5 times a day and make sure that you, I'm just kidding. No, but it's important. Do not exasperate your children. Why? So that they will not lose what? Heart. Can you see how God's so concerned about the heart? We're so concerned about behavior. God's concerned about the heart. So much so that when he turns to the fathers, and remember, he's our father, right? He's saying, don't exasperate them. Isn't that interesting? I find this fascinating, you know? Because I don't know how many parenting seminars would talk about this. But he's saying, fathers, you're responsible for the well-being of the hearts of your children. That's what he's saying here. Do not exasperate them so they will not lose heart. Give up the heart. God is after the heart. He's concerned about the heart. And he's saying to us, by the way, he's also saying to us, you know, if he's telling us weak, evil fathers, you know, this is how you do it, how much more do you think the Father in heaven is working in our lives to make sure that we don't lose heart? How much he's working to nourish our hearts, to get us to change our hearts, to have a become pure in heart. All right? I just want you to see that this is what's really central to how God's working in our lives on a daily basis. All right, I think that's all. I've actually gone over in time this morning, but I wanted to get to that because it's Father's Day. All right, well, we will pick this up next week. We will get to James. I'm excited to get back to James. I'm excited to work through some things about how Jesus and James and Paul all work together on different aspects of things. I think it's going to be a very eye-opening time for all of us, especially me. All right, so we'll get to that too. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for allowing us to spend this time together this morning in your word that's alive and powerful. It challenges us. It rebukes us. It also nourishes us. It gives us confidence and hope. And it's how we find the peace that surpasses understanding. And so we just are grateful to you for allowing us to do this at Freedom today. And Father, today we also want to just pray for those of us who are going through difficult things at this time. We know that you're there for them. Also, Father, we would ask as your children to help us be able to step out of some of our problems from time to time and just step and realize that you're at work and that there are things that we're going to learn that are going to be good for our hearts, even though it's painful right now. Help us to be able to see that. We ask that in Christ's name by the power of the Spirit. Amen. A couple of announcements, then I'll let you go this morning. The young Christians, we're going to gather again tomorrow night. We'll probably have some VBS work to do. The next book, of course, that we're going to start on is 1 Corinthians. I'm looking forward to that. Our next service as a group, everybody, is on Thursday, June 24th, in the informal Bible study at 7 o'clock. All of what we talked about today is, of course, based on the good news of the gospel of Christ. And we always need to be refreshed with the truth for ourselves and for others. The truth is so wonderful that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God made us alive. And the way he did it was by realizing that the only way the human race could be rescued out of the pit of sin and death was by his son becoming a man and dying for us. And that's what he did. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, with a capital S, because Jesus is God as well as human. He gave us Jesus to die for us so that our sins could be forgiven, so that sin itself would be judged at the cross and taken care of, condemned. And then Jesus was buried, and then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead. This is a historical fact. Perhaps the best documented fact in the whole ancient world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. And then he went to heaven again, and he's at the right hand of the Father. And he sent out his ambassadors, including us, to let everybody know what happened, what was done for them by the God, that God is a God of love as well as justice. And he rescued us. And whoever simply believes in him, and as we studied in Ephesians 2, it's by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast, and that's a gift. Amazing. All right? By faith, that's how we approach and enter into this life, and we get eternal life, and we realize that God has declared us to be righteous on the basis of the blood of Christ. That's what saves us. Our faith is just the means by which we make the connection. All right? So we go out to people and we tell them the good news. And maybe somebody today needed to hear that. We probably all needed to on one level. But I mean, if you've never really realized what Jesus Christ did for you at the cross, today is your day. This is the time for you to hear the truth and believe it. For everybody who is a Christian, this is the time to try to find somebody who needs to hear it and let them know what Christ did. Go tell it. We don't have any mountains in Florida, so I can't say go tell it on the mountain. But go tell it at the beach or at the mall or over your fence to your neighbor or on the phone today with a family member. Or maybe somebody even in your household needs to hear it. Gospel. Good news. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you so much today for everything. One more time, we just mostly want to get back to the cross. We realize that it all stems from what Jesus did for us there. And we are just in awe of you and in him, grateful and thankful. And we just ask, Father, now to help us to, by means of the Spirit and by your word, to go out there and just put one foot in front of the other and keep walking in faith. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Enjoy this day.